In keeping with the theme of Thanksgiving, I've chosen a text that speaks to us about our need to give thanks to God. And you might think that this is something that we should not have to be reminded of. Well, then you're a better person than I am. Because how often we forget to give thanks to God in all things. And this week, as you well know, many in our country will celebrate Thanksgiving Day. That day was first celebrated here in America in 1621 at Plymouth Plantation by the 13 remaining pilgrims and 90 of their Native American friends. And then in 1863, then President Abraham Lincoln established Thanksgiving Day as a day of thanksgiving to God. And although most people in our country do not celebrate it as such, they celebrate it as a day of family fun and food and football. Thank you. Most of them do so without giving thanks to God. And this is largely due to the fact that they do not know God as we do. Anyone who truly knows God cannot help but give thanks to Him, both for who He is and for what He has done. In fact, the practice of giving thanks to God goes back a lot further than 400 years. It goes back to the very beginnings of mankind, thousands of years ago. If you remember, after God protected Noah and his family on the ark through the great flood, once they reached dry land, Noah built an altar to the Lord to offer up sacrifices to God in thanksgiving for preserving him and his family. Abraham built altars to God and offered up sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. Moses oversaw the building of the tabernacle and the offering up of thanksgiving sacrifices to God. David offered up thanksgiving sacrifices to God, and he wrote over and over again in the Psalms of giving thanks to God for both who he is and for what he has done. Let me remind you of just a few verses written by David in the Psalms. Psalms 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount your wonderful deeds. Psalms 30:12. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalms 57:9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. Psalms 86:12. I will give thanks to you, O my God, with my whole heart. Psalms 104, we heard that already today. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Psalms 105, 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 106, 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Note, we give thanks for who he is. He is good. And we give thanks for what he does. His steadfast love for us, for his people, endures forever. Psalms 107, 30. With my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord. Did the giving of thanks to God end with David? Of course not. There are over 140 passages in the Old Testament that refer to giving thanks to God. Do you think that God may be showing us something? Our God is worthy of our thanks and praise. Amen? Our God delights. Listen to that. He delights in our giving thanks and praise. He delights in his people giving thanks to him. So it should not be surprising to us that the apostles and the other writers of the New Testament would continue to give thanks to God and to encourage us to do so as well. One of those passages is our text for today. It's found in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard because I like the translation of this verse. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. As we have just seen over and over again in Scripture, we are told that God is worthy of our thanks and praise. His chosen servants, who he moved upon to write his word, command us, his people, to give thanks to him. And they make it clear to us that God delights in our thanksgiving. But, note this, it is only through Christ that we can know God. And it is only through Christ that we can offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is what the writer of the Hebrews is telling us in these first two words in Hebrews 13, 15. Note this, through him. Through him. It refers back to verses 12 through 14. It is there that the writer's referring to the fact that Jesus suffered and died outside of the city in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Let me read those verses to you. Hebrews 13, 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. It is only through him, through Christ, that we can know God. It is only through Christ that we can be redeemed. It is only through Christ that we can give thanks to God. Without our being included in Christ, without our being redeemed and born again in Christ, not only would we not know God, but we would not honor God. We would not give thanks to him. And guess what? That is exactly what God's word tells us. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Paul is here describing those who have not been saved, those who have not been redeemed, those who are not in Christ. This is what he says about them. Verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The simple truth is, in our fallen state, we were spiritually dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins. And as such, we did not acknowledge God, we did not honor God, and we certainly didn't give thanks to him. At that time, we were actually enemies of God. That's what the scripture says. And our minds had been blinded to who God truly is, to his glory, to his majesty, and to his steadfast love. Listen to how Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Many of you are very familiar with this text. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You and I were once spiritually dead, spiritually blind. It's been 49 years for me. Next year will be my 50th birthday in Christ. But I remember a time when I was 12 years old. Let's just go there, because I got saved when I was 13. Let's go back to 12, or 12 and a half, or 13 and a half, because I got saved right before my 14th birthday. If you'd asked me at that point, Steve, do you believe in God? I would have said, yeah, of course. If you'd asked me, do you believe that God created all things? I would have said, of course. I mean, I never believed in a big bang, and I never believed in evolution. Now, understand, I was not raised in a Christian home. Oh, they said they were Christians. And they taught me that there was a God, and that he had a son named Jesus, and that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on a cross, that he rose again from the dead. We celebrated Christmas. We celebrated Easter. I was like 80% of Americans. And if you'd asked me, are you a Christian? I would have said, absolutely, of course. Is there anything else? But I didn't know God. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And I certainly hadn't trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I was blind to that reality. But God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Talk about an understatement. I was a sinner. I can't even tell you how sinful I was. It would not be appropriate. And you might be sitting there thinking, come on, you were 12. You have no idea. You have no idea. And yet God loved me. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. How could God do this? How could he save a wretch like me? How could he forgive my sins, my rebellion against him? Only through Christ. Someone had to pay for my sin. If it wasn't going to be me, it would have to be God's Son. And he did it through the sacrifice of his own Son. We read this in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. We read these words, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Note that. He died for the ungodly. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Our response to what God has done in loving us, in saving us from ourselves, our response is to exalt him. Amen? To give thanks to him, to give praise to him. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus that we give thanks to God. And it is through Jesus that we can continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Note this, we are to give thanks continually. Continually. Now, does that mean that we should all remain here in this sanctuary doing nothing else but praising God and giving thanks to him for the rest of our natural lives? That would be a wonderful way to spend the rest of our lives. It would. A little selfish, but it would be wonderful. What a precursor of heaven. And the age to come, that would be. But no, God has called us to live out our lives in this world to his glory, doing whatever work the Lord has called us to do in this life. But it does mean this, that no matter what else is required of us, no matter what else God has given us to do, we should be praising God and giving thanks to him in the midst of doing it. We should live in an attitude of thanksgiving and praise to God. And it should be evident in our lives. Listen to three more passages from God's Word that repeat this very admonition to us, that we should give thanks continually. First, Colossians 3:17, where Paul writes, "Whatever you do, in word or deed." That takes in just about everything. You notice that? "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, note, through him. Through him. Whatever we do, in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we give thanks to God the Father through him. In our Sunday school class this morning, we were admonished that if we want to be faithful witnesses in this present darkness, we need to look different than those that don't know Christ. We need to stand out. We don't need to blend in. We don't become like the world to win the world. We become like Christ to win the world. And if you are giving thanks to God at all times, in all things, you're going to stand out. Because that is not the way of the world. And then Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:20, telling them to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty all-inclusive to me, doesn't it? Giving thanks always, almost like continuously, and for everything. Can we give thanks for everything? We can in Christ, because in Christ we understand that everything happens according to God's perfect plan. There is a divine will behind everything that happens, even our pain, even our suffering. Amen? Our brother Robert sitting over here nodding and saying amen. Okay? Diagnosed with liver cancer. Undergoing cancer treatment right now. But you know what? He can give thanks to God in the midst of that. He can shine as a light to those that are treating him, to those who know him, to his family. Giving thanks always and for everything. And then he writes something similar to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. I want to put these four verses side by side or top to bottom. Hebrews 13, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at this. Continually offer up praise to God. Do everything giving thanks to God. Giving thanks always and for everything to God. Give thanks in all circumstances to God. I don't know about you, but I kind of see a pattern here. I get the idea that God expects and desires for his people, those he has redeemed and reconciled through the blood of his Son, to be continually thankful at all times and in all circumstances. You kind of get that? And why wouldn't we be? If we understand the blessings that we have received, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, forgiveness, and cleansing from our sins, the righteousness of God's Son credited to us, eternal life. Arthur Pink, in his commentary on Hebrews, writes these words: "To abound in fervent praise and thanksgiving unto God is the abiding duty of the Christian." Later he writes, "To praise God continually, we must cultivate perpetual gratitude, and surely that should not be too difficult for us." How much do we have to be thankful for? The list is endless. But is this how we live our lives? Is this how we spend our time, giving thanks and praise to God. All of us who are in Christ should be the most thankful people on this planet. And yet we know that the world that we live in is not a world that looks on the bright side of things. It's not a world that focuses on giving thanks. It's a world that focuses on the negatives, complaining, rights. It's a self-focused world that we live in. It's a negative-focused world that we live in. Remember that you and I were created and recreated in Christ to glorify God. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Amen? When we praise God, we glorify Him. When we give thanks to God, we glorify Him. When we live our lives as those who continually give thanks to God, we glorify Him. And that is what we were created to do. So through Jesus, we give thanks to God, and we are to give thanks continually. When we live our lives in this way, when we live as those who are truly thankful, this will also be seen in the manner in which we live our lives. It will produce in us a desire to do good deeds and a desire to share what we have with others. Look at verse 16. I need to turn back to the text here, or I can't see it. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You want to know how to please God? Give thanks to Him continuously, do good, and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We see here that thankfulness encourages serving others and sharing. As you and I continually give thanks to God, we will begin to understand how much we truly have to be thankful for. The more we give thanks, try this, I challenge you. The more we give thanks, the more we realize how much we have to be thankful for. And we will begin to recognize just how blessed we are. You know, they say there's two types of people in this world. You know, glass half full or glass half empty. Every Christian should see that glass as overflowing with God's blessings, no matter how full it is. We will soon realize that everything we are and everything we have has been given to us by God, and it is actually all His. This should encourage us to use what we have been entrusted with in doing good towards others and sharing with others as we are able. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them or live in them. God, as we have heard earlier, He's brought us out of death into spiritual life in Christ Jesus, for which we should be eternally grateful. And one of the ways that we can show our gratitude is by doing the good works that God has prepared for us to do. Paul states this again in his first letter to Timothy, where he states that those who are blessed by God are then to do good towards others and share with others. It's really a quite simple statement, 1 Timothy 6:18. This is what Paul writes. They are to do good and be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous and ready to share. So here we see that when God blesses us, out of our gratitude towards God, we should seek ways to bless others in both doing good and by sharing what we have been given with others. When we do this, and we do it in an attitude of gratitude, it will result in even more thanksgiving to God. We can increase thanksgiving to God through our good works and our sharing with others. If you don't believe me, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to read you verses 8 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Excuse me. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That did not look right at all. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, because we just studied this in our home fellowship group. Starting in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. We've been singing today about his grace towards us. Amen? Grace that is greater than all of our sin. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Note for a second there, it doesn't say so that you can have an abundance for yourself. So that you can have an abundance for you to enjoy. Doesn't say that. It says, so that in everything you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Note this, you'll be enriched so that you can be liberal in sharing, in giving, and increase the harvest. Which through us produces what? Thanksgiving to God. So our liberality, our blessing others, increases thanksgiving to God. How does that work? Because they are thankful that God has used us to bless them, and they give thanks to God for that. Look at verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Now, in the context, those of us that have been studying this passage, we know that Paul's talking here about the collection that he was collecting to go back and bless the church in Jerusalem. Okay? But the point that Paul is making here is that as we share with others, it increases thanksgiving to God, because each one that we bless then can give thanks to God for being blessed. In other words, we become the conduit by which God's blessings flow to others, and they then increase in their thanksgiving to God. Wow. So as we give thanks to God for all he has done and is doing in our lives, he blesses us all the more so that we can serve others and share with others, which results in even greater thanksgiving to God. And when God blesses us, we should not only give thanks to him, but look for ways to bless others so that they too will give thanks to him and look for ways to bless others so that they too will give thanks to him and look for ways to bless others, so that they too will give thanks to him and look for ways to bless others, so that they too will give thanks to him. You get the idea? In one of Paul's last letters, his letter to Titus, he closes out the letter. Listen to this. He closes out the letter with this admonition, Titus 3:14. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help care for the urgent need and not be unfruitful. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. This is the same thing that you and I need to do. We have so much to be thankful for. Let us cultivate an attitude and lifestyle of giving thanks to God continually, and a lifestyle of doing good works and sharing with others who have need. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You want to live a life pleasing to God? Live this way. Is it your desire to live pleasing to God? Now you know how to do that. God has made it possible for us now to live for him, to glorify him, to give thanks to him through Jesus. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to do just that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to gather together in the name of your Son to lift our voices in worship, in praise, in giving of thanks. Thank you, Father God, for your very clear teaching in Scripture and for the opportunity that we have to live lives different than those in the world, to live lives that are focused on glorifying you, giving you thanks at all times and in every circumstance. And Father God, may we also look for opportunities then to do good to others and to share the blessings that we have been given. That your name would be praised, that even more thanksgiving would come to you, you who are worthy of all our thanks and praise. Help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name.